a healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading surely exercises mutual caring one for another, according to Galatians 6:2, which is the text for this morning's message. And so if you would like, you may turn with me now to the book of Galatians and find there the fifth chapter, Galatians chapter 5, and you'll find that passage on page 1239 in the Bible there in the pew. Galatians chapter 5, and I'll be reading for us verses 25 of that fifth chapter through verse 5 of the sixth chapter. Before we listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us, let's look together to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to this portion of your word, we pray that your Spirit would be powerful in our midst, that we would hear what you have to say to us, and that your word would be written upon our hearts. Pray, Father, that the meditations of my heart and the words that you've given me would resound to your glory and the edification of we, your saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Thus far, the reading of God's infallible word. To him be the glory. Amen. Here in verse 2 of chapter 6, we are called to tender and affectionate participation with one another in their several states and conditions, according to John Owen. Let's see what bearing one another's burdens look like and notice the motivation for doing so. So first we consider the burdens. First we consider the burdens. Commentators cite at least three forms of burdens that we are to bear one with another. And I trust as we look at these three, you'll agree with me that each one of us here this morning, from time to time, certainly bears with these burdens. The first and the easiest one to identify is physical burdens. Physical burdens. And Martha expressed a physical burden that she had to Jesus when she was frantically trying to prepare a meal for Jesus and his followers when they entered her house. You remember Martha wanted Jesus to encourage Mary, her sister, to stop listening to Jesus and help her with the burden of preparing the meal for the house guests. Certainly we know what it's like, don't we, to take a meal to someone who is sick, or take a meal to someone who has just given birth to a child, or take food to someone who has a large number of house guests. We know what it's like to share the burden of providing food for people. In fact, as a congregation, don't we? We have such a committee that seeks to bear these physical burdens when people have need of a meal. Perhaps some of you here this morning shoveled the walk of one of the older persons in the congregation, or maybe you shoveled your neighbor's walk this morning or yesterday, helping with that physical burden of one in the congregation or even a neighbor. Certainly when we are moving from one place to another, or when we have furniture that we want moved in our home, what do? Well, we call on the strong young men of the congregation, and they come and they like to flex their muscles and help in those physical burdens that we have. You know, when we have a work day here at the church building, we all know that proverb, many hands make light the work. Physical burdens, we're told, we're to bear with one another, helping each other in those kinds of burdens. Well, that's an easy one to see. How about this second burden that often besets each and every one of us here this morning? Here I'm thinking about emotional burdens. And again, I think of Martha. And I think of that emotional burden that Martha shared with Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You can all relate to such emotional burdens, can't we? How many times have you found yourself asking the similar question? When we watch someone suffering, we become emotionally drained. What happens when we internalize those emotions and don't share them with others? Well, ulcers often form, or high blood pressure befalls us. We must be there for one another to help carry emotional burdens with them. Parents, you perhaps remember those times when your child comes home from school and they're downcast. Why? Because the person who was their best friend is no longer their friend. You're there to bear with your child that emotional burden of being rejected. You know, parents, have it within our power to make the duties of our children easier. And, you know, children, you have it within your power to make your parents' duties easier as well. Next time your father says, let's sit down for family worship, how about it, children? Don't complain. Say, thanks, Dad. I'm glad to hear you want to do this. I look forward to these times when we hear you read the word and we pray together and perhaps sing together. Children can help the emotional burdens that parents feel when you grumble and you complain when it's time for family worship. We want to be there, don't we, for people who are struggling with loved ones who have a terminal illness. We've been upholding the Orr family as Bob was not responding at all to stimuli. The emotional burden the Orr family is carrying. I remember reading the testimony of a lady who was struggling with whether or not God exists. She shared how encouraged she was by a friend who said, "I know you don't think God is there for you. I know He is, and I'm here for Him with you." That friend carried that emotional burden of her friend who doubted the existence of God. I'm sure every one of us here has been helped by the mutual caring of a brother or a sister offered you when you were emotionally drained. Consider the burdens, physical and emotional, and how about this third one? Spiritual burdens. Spiritual burdens. A biblical example of a person racked with what I'm calling a spiritual burden is David. Yes, King David of Israel. You know only too well the account of his story as recorded there in 2 Samuel 12. Certainly Galatians 6:1 helps us with how to handle spiritual burdens, doesn't it? Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. We who enjoy the grace of God in our marriages know what it's like to bear one another's spiritual burdens, don't we? No one knows our failures like our spouse. How comforting it is when he or she bears our spiritual burdens with us. How faithful are we in praying for our spouse's besetting sin or those areas of weakness in spiritual maturity that they manifest. John Brown of Edinburgh offers this example of bearing one another's spiritual burden in his commentary on Galatians. He writes, "A true Christian, to illustrate what I mean by an example, has a violent temper, which makes himself and all about him very uneasy. His fellow Christian must not, on this account, give up all conversation with him. He must not take occasion from this infirmity of his brother to flatter his own self-complacency. But he must patiently bear the uneasiness with which this infirmity produces, and use in the spirit of Christian love the appropriate means for curing it." And then he cites Chrysostom's illustration. "He who is quick and irritable, let him bear with the slow and sluggish. In turn, let the slow and sluggish bear with the impetuosity of his fiery brother, each knowing that the burden is heavier to him who bears it than to him who bears with it." And it's just here that we must remember mutual caring is often easier to affirm than to practice. What do we do when a Christian brother stumbles and falls under his or her burden? We're not to let him lie on the ground and recover to his feet on his own. We're not to allow him to stay there, struggling to regain his footing on his own. Furthermore, we must not insult him as he lies on the ground. We must not point out to the scorn and derision of the world his faults and his failures. We must take him by the hand and raise him up. With our own burdens, walk hand in hand on life's journey with one another, endeavoring to keep each other from falling. How the devil wants us to fall prey to what we read there in that 26th verse of Galatians 5. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. How prone we are when a brother or sister stumbles and falls under physical or emotional or particularly spiritual burdens, to use it as an occasion for our own aggrandizement instead of recognizing there but for the grace of God, I would be as well. We must be available for one another. We must be open and honest with each other, listening and sharing ourselves with one another. Paul has this word to those of us who think ourselves to be strong as he was in Romans 15:1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Peter put it this way in the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of his first letter. Each of us has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. At the end of the day, we're able to manifest mutual caring within the household of faith because of what Peter reminds us in the second chapter of that first letter and the 24th verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wound, you have been healed. Amazing grace shows itself through mutual caring within a household of faith. And this takes us then to consider the motivation. Consider the motivation of mutual caring. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you want to be obedient to the law of Christ? Of course you do. We all do, don't you? How many of you realize when you are carrying someone else's physical or emotional or spiritual burden, that you're being obedient to Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit residing within us as believers, He brings to our remembrance the things of Christ, including His commandments. As a congregation, I trust that we have committed to memory what Jesus says there in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another by this. By what? By this love that you have one for another. All people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Some of us know that shorter version of it in chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Just as Jesus bore the burden of our sins in His body on the cross, so we who have denied ourselves, taken up our cross, and are following Jesus Christ, we demonstrate mutual caring one for another. Amazing grace shows itself through mutual caring within the household of faith. Truly, a healthy, growing congregation following the Lord's leading practices such mutual caring that we're there for one another to help bear up the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual burdens that we each one encounter. Some of you read Bill Crowder's devotional on Thursday in our Daily Bread entitled Load Line. Maybe you remember he mentioned the 19th century British politician Samuel Plimsoll. It was Samuel Plimsoll who introduced in 1875 the line on the side of cargo ships that help those who load the ship not allow it to go below that plimsoll line that's there on the hull so that the weight of the cargo doesn't sink the ship. Wouldn't it be nice if each of us had such a line on ourselves? Or better yet, if we as a congregation of the people of God had that plimsoll line around us. After all, we are lively stones built together on Jesus Christ, that rock, that foundation, that cornerstone. And as lively stones build upon Him, He knits us together. He puts us together, one stone upon another, one in the back, one in the front, one up high, one down low, but each one there bearing one another's burdens in such a way that the amazing grace of God, as it's seen in our mutual caring one for another within the household of faith, this world in which we live, and this society in which we live, that seems to be throwing off every vestige of Christianity. But be convicted of what true caring is all about. And marvel at how we who by the grace of God deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow Jesus and look for that plimsoll line in one another. And as we see water going above it, we rescue them by meeting the physical need that's manifested, by being there emotionally for them. And most of all, by the grace of God, when we see someone heavy laden in sin, instead of knocking them down and mocking them on the ground, or going around and telling everybody about their faults and foibles and, oh, it's just what they deserve. We go over and we get down on our hands and our knees. And we begin to address by the grace of God and the Spirit of God enlivening us and empowering us that need that that brother or that sister has that has caused them to be prostrate there on the ground. And we help them up. And we encourage them in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we share with them the joy of salvation that comes when a sinner repents and lays hold of Christ afresh. Now there may be some here this morning who have not yet repented and laid hold of Christ initially. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is putting it upon your heart that you need to cry out, "Be merciful to me, O God, the sinner that I am. I now confess my sin and I cry out, oh, forgive me and cleanse me. I enjoy that righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ. Take this burden of my sin off me as I lay it on Christ, confessing it." And we who by the grace of God know what it's like to have done that, may we be committed, heart, soul, strength, and mind, to loving God with all our being and our neighbors, ourselves, in such a way that we practice mutual caring. Because that, you see, is what a healthy and growing congregation is about. As we follow the Lord's leading in this year 2014, that His amazing grace would show itself through mutual caring within the household of faith. In this world in which the darkness of sin seems to be growing ever darker, we'll have this penetrating light of the gospel. This penetrating light of the gospel manifesting itself through us individually, but more importantly, corporately, that God in His grace might bring repentance and faith to those who like darkness but need the light that by His grace we enjoy. Amazing grace shows itself through mutual caring within the household of faith. Amen and amen. Father in heaven, help us to be this people who know what it is to have had our sins borne by our Savior on the tree, that we in Him might enjoy that righteousness that comes in Christ. And in that righteousness that we would be faithful in obeying those commandments that He's given us most clearly, that we would love one another as He's loved us, that the world would know we're His disciples. May the mutual caring that we manifest one for another catch the eye of the world in such a way that they know that we're yours and they want you as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.